We began this message series on the theme of connecting. And we connect, first of all, to God. Without the connection to God, without the body being connected to the head, we will not be able to do any of that which we would seek to do. Our impact is muted if we have no connection to God. Growth is impossible without a connection to God. But we also learned in week two that it's God's will not only for us to be connected to Him through Jesus Christ and through the ongoing presence of His Spirit, but that we ought to be connected meaningfully to one another. And that the two actually go together. One of the ways we connect to God, one of the ways we strengthen our connection to God, is by being connected to one another. And it goes the other way as we strengthen our connection to God. A longing is created within each of us to connect more meaningfully with one another. What I hope we gleaned in the first few weeks, and what I hope will stay in our hearts, is that connection is vital. Connection to God. Connection to one another. But this morning, I want us to know that connection is not enough. Connection alone is not enough. Without constant attention, without close proximity, our connections to God and our connections to one another will loosen. And as our connections weaken, growth becomes difficult, if not altogether impossible. So we understand the importance of connecting, but we're aware of the danger of being disconnected, of having our connections loosened, which sets before us at least two challenges. One, preserve our existing connections. And two, promote new growth. Thinking about preserving existing connections makes me think of probably an unusual illustration. As I think about what it takes to preserve a connection, I think about the day I bought brand new goalie pads. And I don't know if you're familiar with the new goalie equipment these days. I've been a goalie for 30 years, and I bought this new pair of goal pads, and I couldn't figure out how to fasten them to my legs. They were very complex. They had more straps, more laces, more buckles than I'd ever been accustomed to. And you'd think with all these additional buckles and laces that it would have been easy to keep this pad connected to my leg. But what I learned by experience is that as I play the course of a game, the laces that I had looped through my skates from my pads began to loosen. And as they loosened, the laces would slip under my skate and I would be tripping all over the place. So here I was needing my pads to stay connected to my legs, but they would not stay. But I learned a very simple technique. I learned that I could keep the buckles and the laces in place if I only applied a little bit of tape. I connected the laces and then I taped the laces down. It may be the case this morning that you are experiencing a strong connection to God. You get the sense that you are in close proximity to Jesus Christ at this very moment. So I want to ask you, what's your plan to take down that connection? What are you planning to do to keep your proximity to Jesus? What's your game plan to stay close to Him? Because we've all probably learned the hard way that as we experience the rigors of life, as we face adversity and many challenges, these threaten to undo our connections to God and our connections to one another. How are you going to tape down? How are you going to tape down your spiritual connection? My guess is that we'll probably all have differing methods. But what we'll have in common is the need to create opportunities to connect with God. In other words, your schedule will hold the key to you remaining connected to Jesus Christ. And your schedule will call for you to take some things out and to take specific aim at spending time with God, aiming specifically to spend more time in prayer, more time in reading the Scripture. If we do not take aim at connecting with God, we will drift. Progress is not our default position. We will not drift into progress. Our schedule holds the key. Well, once we're in the groove, once we have our connection preserved and stable, then we ought to push ourselves to a new level. We ought to seek each for ourselves to grow in our faith and to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of growth, Bryn? Well, first let me say what kind of growth we're not talking about this morning, what kind of growth we're not talking about in rolling out this vision statement. We're not talking about numerical growth. Yes, we would love for our 10 a.m. service to be full, to have 300 plus people every Sunday, but that's not where we're going to go this morning because we can't control how many people come out on a Sunday morning. God causes that kind of growth. But there is a kind of growth that we have a huge impact on. And it's not growth by numbers. It's not growth by multiplication. The growth that we can have a control over is best equated with the word maturity. Paul wants the individual Christian to become more mature. He wants Christian congregations, collectively, the body of Christ, to become more mature. So how do we promote such growth? Well, I want us to return our attention to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And if you have your Bibles open, you might want to follow along. Because as we seek to grow in our faith and to grow in our connections with one another in Jesus Christ, I see in this passage at least four things that will promote your maturity and our maturity as a Christian congregation. And the first thing which will promote maturity and promote growth is works of service. Yes, rolling up our sleeves and working and serving actually promotes our growth. Paul explains that the offices of the church have been put in place to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, there's at least two ways to read that. That we're built up when someone serves us, or we're built up when we do the serving. I would suggest that the context is leaning towards the latter. That the growth being spoken of here comes not from being served, but by doing the serving. By engaging in the works of service, we grow. Now I realize this principle is slightly counterintuitive. Because when we seek physical nourishment, when we serve ourselves food, we're nourished. Now, I think of my daughter Anya when she was a baby. I used to have to feed her, like every parent has to feed their young child. But when I fed Anya her food, I received no physical nourishment. It was only the one who received who was nourished. But God has so designed that when we do the serving, we get the growth. We are spiritually nourished by feeding another. It's counterintuitive, but it's God's design. Growth is promoted when we serve others. The second thing that promotes growth is knowledge. Knowledge. I'm thinking of all those times I've purchased an electronic device and I made a choice not to open the instruction manual and to try to just fiddle with the thing until I got it to work. Now, I'm grateful that, I guess, having done this a number of times, I've actually become quite adept. I can set up most electronic devices without ever looking at the manual. And so I begin to think, well, I don't need this extra knowledge. I seem to figure it out all on my own. But then there'll come a time where something will stump me with that device, and I'll finally cave in and I'll read the manual. And I read the manual and I realize that there are dozens and dozens of special features that I've been missing out on because I never read the manual. Oh, sure, I got it connected and hooked up, but I've been missing out on the full benefits of the device because I haven't read the instructions. I can't help but think that many of us approach Christianity in the same way. We get on all right when we just try to figure it out through using our intuition and our common sense. We come to St. Giles Kingsway on a Sunday morning, we listen to a message, we see how we conduct ourselves, and we think, well, I think I can figure this connection bit out. But then we read the Word of God. We read it page by page, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we realize that there are special features that we didn't hear from Bryn from the pulpit. There are special promises and blessings that we've been missing out on because we have not been reading the manual. Paul suggests that knowledge contributes to our growth. He says specifically, knowledge of the Son of God. So it's a knowledge centered around Jesus. It's knowledge centered around His life and His ministry that helps us to grow spiritually. And I wouldn't want any of us to reduce knowledge to mere information. Paul's talking about growing in our familiarity with Jesus. Understanding on a deep and personal level who He is and becoming familiar with that. Knowledge contributes to our growth. The third thing that promotes our growth takes knowledge a step further. The third thing is following Christ's manner. First, we need to know what the manner is. The second thing is to execute. It's one thing to be familiar with Jesus and what He did. It's another thing to replicate what He did. And replicating the works of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, is a way to promote growth. To this end, Paul says, speak the truth in love. Well, first you need to know the truth. First you need the knowledge. Secondly, you apply it. You speak the truth in love. And we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That's where I got the phrase. Maybe you looked at the bulletin this morning and you thought I was doing what my mother used to always do to me and say, oh, Bryn, grow up. That's not the spirit of the message title this morning. Although it's entirely true, I spent the better part of my teenage years doing things which would cause my mother to say, Bryn, grow up. At your age. In all seriousness, Paul wants us to grow up. He wants us to no longer be as children. He wants us to increase the service we render. He wants us to increase the knowledge we possess. He wants us to more frequently apply what we know, which is the manner and ways of Jesus. And this, Paul says, will help us to mature, to grow up into Him who is the head, which is Jesus Christ. I said there was four things that would promote growth, but I want us to note that the fourth thing is different from the other three, because the first three I can do on my own. On my own, I can resolve to serve other people. On my own, I can resolve to increase my knowledge. On my own, I can resolve to follow the manner and ways of Jesus Christ. But this fourth thing is different. Paul tells us in this passage that growth is the result of high levels of participation. That when we move away from the individual maturing to the church maturing, when we talk about a congregation of God's people growing, he says that it requires a high level of participation. He says the whole body grows as each one takes their part. The whole body grows as each part does its work. I'm as much fascinated by what the Apostle Paul doesn't say as I am with what he does say. Paul doesn't say that the body of Christ grows when the ministry staff is faithful. He doesn't say that. Nor does Paul say the whole body grows when the leadership core is working hard. He doesn't say that. Paul says the whole body grows as each part does its work. I remember my rowing coach often saying to us that we could only go as fast as our slowest rower. We could only go as fast as our slowest rower. And the reason is simple. You have 8 people in the boat, 8 oars in the water, and it stunts progress, it hinders progress if some of the oars are moving more rapidly than the other. There's no benefit to 4 people rowing faster than the other 4. Rowing is something where growth is best promoted when it's done in unison. And maybe the origin of the statement isn't rowing, the phrase, pull your weight. Because that was a phrase we often used in rowing. I was in a lightweight crew. I would no longer qualify for a lightweight crew today, but there was a time when I was sub 155 pounds. And in this crew, you would have folks that were 154 pounds, and you would also have people who were 139 pounds. And even though you rowed in unison, there was an understanding that the 154 pound might row harder or pull more water, if you will, than the 139 pound. So even though you moved at the same speed, you were pulling different weight. You needed to pull your own weight. The expectation, if you were the 139 pounder, is that the guy who was 154 pounds better be pulling more water than you. And I want us to think of the church in these terms, that we are in every way in unison when we serve Christ, as we acquire knowledge, as we follow the ways of Jesus. We're in unison, but we recognize that we might be in different weight classes spiritually, and the amount of water that we pull figuratively may be different. But the important application here isn't how much water we're pulling, isn't whether we're pulling our weight, it's whether all of us have our oars in the water. Do we all have our oars in the water? Are we all pulling at the same speed? Because Paul says that the body of Christ grows as each part does its work, as each one participates. You've probably been here long enough and listened to me frequently enough that you know that I long for spiritual progress. I long for it for myself, to grow spiritually. Some may say, oh, Bryn, you're a perfectionist. Bryn, you have unrealistic standards. Both of those things might be true. But the Bible encourages our growth. And I long for that growth. I long for that progress in my own life and in the life of this congregation. I want it to be the case that 5 years from now and 10 years from now, you look back at where you were and where we were, and you can say, we've changed, we've grown, we've matured, we've advanced. My worst fear is that we'll look back and say, we haven't moved. I'm grateful. I'm coming on my 7-year anniversary with you, and I'm grateful that as I look back to 2002, I can say we've moved. We have grown. We have matured. We have made advances. Growing is important, and growth is something we must aim at. Growth is something we must aim at, and to continue our growth, we need to take down our existing connections. and not take growth for granted, not take our connection to God and one another for granted, but aim at keeping our connection strong. I want us to be very intentional about growing in our service to others. To make room in your schedule, to spend more time reading the Bible and growing your knowledge. To spend more time identifying ways in which we can more closely follow the manner of Jesus. I want us all to commit ourselves to getting our oars in the water and pulling in unison. Aim at growth. Growth is something God intends for you. Growth is something that God intends for St. Giles Kingsway. Parents of young children delight when they see their children growing. And I think the reason is very basic. When we see our children growing, it's a sign of health. That we identify that our children are in large measure healthy when they are growing. And I believe the same can be said of the church. And again, not emphasizing numerical growth or the multiplication of people, but a sign of health is when we individually and collectively are maturing in our faith and growing in closer connection to Jesus Christ. Friends, I want us with all our heart and with our schedules to aim at growth and to understand that as we aim at growth, God wants that for you. That just as growth pleases a parent when their child grows, our maturity will please our Father in heaven. And this makes it all worth the pursuit. Amen.